we could all agree that intent and goal setting are very important. That thought and intention is very important. What do we say? Begin with the end in mind. Right? Stephen Covey is a very insightful statement. However, the focus of our conversation today is actually going to be on the opposite of that. There is also an expression. It goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Sometimes a person can have great machshavos, great intentions, great thoughts, great plans, but they don't materialize. Ratzon, the idea of having a vision, an ambition, a drive to accomplish something, especially in spirituality, ratzon is crucial. But the Piasetzner Rebbe writes in his diary, in the Tzav Aziras, he says, you know, ratzon is good, but it's not enough. And it's interesting the way that he emphasizes that ratzon, it's good, it's important, it's true. And I don't want to undo what we spent the last several weeks talking about. But, he says, unless you translate that ratzon into something that is practical and tangible and is real in the sense of concrete, then it's not really worth all that much. Again, it's not to discount the ratzon. It's not to say that machshava tova, good intent, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God considers that spiritual growth, that's valuable. But it's not enough. It's not enough just to have ratzon. It's not enough just to have kavana. So with that in mind, we can appreciate what Rav Volbe teaches us now at the end of this section that we're concluding today, this Psicha La'avoda Pratis, on the beginning of the first line of the second paragraph where he says, Sod Gadol, an important secret. Tamun is hidden. Bekivun El Hama'aseh. With the kivun, what does the word kivun mean? The direction to the ma'aseh. Meaning, until now, we've been talking primarily about da'as and machshava, thought, and keeping our life together internally. He says, but the true secret is to take that and direct it el hama'aseh. He says, we like to think, anu regilim lahaniach, we like to assume, ki si hamadregos, the height of the word madrega means level, the height of accomplishment, hu lehisromeim, is to become elevated, bimachshava, in our mind. Imagine someone who is able to meditate and put away all of the distractions and all of the confusion, and they're just focused in on godliness. Especially if you're a student of the Rambam, and the Rambam understood that rationality and thoughtfulness, that idea of the contemplative philosopher, that's going to bring you to prophecy. So you would think that the world of the mind, that's where it's all at. Especially if you're a student of Maimonides. It's all about the thought. It's the machshava, or the seichel, the intellect, the cognitive. However, he says, ulam, Divrei Chazal Borur Milelu. However, the words of the sages spoke very clearly. What is that? Amrav Acha, he quotes now a passage from the Medrash of Vayikra Rabba. Halomed Almanas Lasos, a person who learns for the purpose of doing, Zoche Lahakbil Ruach HaKodesh, merits to receive divine wisdom, Ruach HaKodesh. Now, ain't that interesting? Because if you were the Rambam, you probably would have said, or I would have thought, that the more you meditate and the more you think, that's going to bring you to Ruach HaKodesh, a divine spirit. The Medrash says not so. It's that when you are lomed, when you learn, when you think, when you meditate, almanas lasos. If it's with an eye toward actualizing it, then you're zoch lahakbal ruach hakodesh. Matam, he quotes a proof, this medrash. Laman tishmor lasos kechol akosav bo, ki oz tatzliach derachecha v'oz taskil. What does it mean, then at the end you will taskil? The word literally taskil means intellect. You will guard to go to do all that is written in it, and then you will succeed in your ways, and you will become intellectually fulfilled. Ve'im taskil doesn't mean intellect. Ella reish vav ches kuf is ruach hakodesh. It probably should be a hey. K'madi isa maskil la'isan ha'ezrachi. That's why when the Gemara had a question, which is greater, Gadol is Talmud or Maisa? Which is more important, or which has a greater weight, the learning or the doing? So Gemara says, well, it's a good question. The Gemara concludes, which is greater, the learning or the doing? The Gemara concludes, the learning is greater. So why is the learning greater? So before you saw this Gemara, you would say, well, learning is greater because it's affecting the mind. The Gemara says, you know why the learning is greater? Gadol HaTalmud, learning is greater because it's mevi lidei maisa. That is what brings you to the action. So actually, and it's actually greater in two respects, so to speak. Number one, it's a two-for-one deal. You get the learning, and then you get the doing. But that's because the second point, which is you can't do if you don't know. If our goal, if the power that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, the ability to connect to Him, is very often through the practical mitzvos masios, the things that we're supposed to do and then the thing that we're supposed to avoid, well, unless we know what those are, then how are we going to ever do them? It's like walking in the dark. Imagine you went to you like cooking, you went to intern at a high-end restaurant. And the chef said to you, go ahead, take a crack at it. This is the most popular item on the menu. Go for it. So what would you ask for? Recipe. Right. If you don't know the recipe, you're not going to be very successful at kind of... He says that they make a delicious, I don't know, minestrone soup. So you can make very good minestrone soup on your own, but unless you have a lot of experience in knowing what this flavor profile exactly is, because people come to this restaurant for this chef's minestrone soup, not for the minister, not to take anything away from your kitchen, but it didn't come for my minestrone soup, they came for the chef. So the chef says, make the minestrone soup. None of the customers want my made-up minestrone soup out of my back pocket. They want what comes from the chef. So unless I open his or her recipe book and I pay attention to what it says in there, so I'm not going to be successful at replicating that minestrone soup. Unless we, so to speak, learn, kivyachol, so to speak, the mind of Hashem, what Hashem wants us to do and how we should lead our lives, so then we're not going to be successful at doing that. But ultimately, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to deliver the soup. That's the thing. If there's no soup, so what's the point? It's the soup that brings us to the Ruach HaKodesh. Says Rav Volbi in the next paragraph, the first word on the line is Muchrach. Is Muchrach Mizeh? It is essential from this. Ki haderech l'ruach hakodesh, now you see it spelled correctly, resh vav hekuf, hu dafka hakivun el hamaaseh. It is that when a person learns and they integrate that learning into their selves, into their soul, into their being, they're doing that with an eye to actualizing it. One of the Kohl fellows told me he heard someone speak, I forget who it was, He told me this person has a practice that whenever he goes to a shir or a drasha or something that's inspirational, or he comes across an article or whatever it is that he finds really moves him, he has to do something practical within the next 5 minutes. It's interesting. Why does that make sense? Because it's what the Piasetzer kind of alluded to in his little note in the diary, which is that if all we have is ratzon, we have a lot of, I shouldn't speak for anybody else, but some of us have life experience that we have a very good thought, we have a very good machshava. But if that machshava is not focused on a maisa, on a concrete action, how am I going to translate that into something practical? Somehow, over time, it just dissipates. I have a feeling I encounter someone's going through a tough time. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me a conscience, a neshama, and you feel for that person. So maybe you give a shtickle krechts, you know that person's having such a hard time. But unless I say to myself, ooh, that person is having a hard time, I should probably send them a text message, or I should probably send them a letter, or I should probably call them, or I should drop off something specific at a specific time. Unless I get practical in my head, where does that machshava usually go? It goes. I don't know where it goes. It just somehow you turn around and it didn't materialize anywhere. It just disappeared. But if a person is thinking, where does this machshava express itself in a maisa? If that machshava says, oh, I need to really do something for that person. So that means that right now when I'm moved, I need to open up a browser on my laptop, or I need to make a note in my phone that will say that by the end of the day, I will do such and such. So then that machshava is not stama machshava, as they say in Yiddish, in the luft, in the theory. That machshava now has a focus, has a maisa, and then you can execute on it. But we're never going to execute if the original machshava was just theoretical. It's just a feeling, and it's not taking anything away from that. When we see somebody who's having a hard time, we should feel for them. But if it's just a feeling, so then that's just one level. But the feeling that has a focused action to it, that's a whole nother level. If I'm ever able to communicate anything effectively, many of you know, it's from my teacher, Gerald August, Olav Shalom. So Gerald, he was a really wonderful mentor, an outstanding public speaker. He did Toastmasters and he did coaching, and somebody eventually connected him with REITs to work with the students. At that time, they were working with the post-ordination fellows, the Kol Elyon fellows. So we would get together on Fridays, and we had to give a specific kind of a talk every Friday. So one week it would be a drasha, one week it would be a funeral, another week it would be a bar mitzvah, whatever it was. We were required to speak less than 4 minutes, and we would videotape ourselves, and then we would have to go in the other room and watch ourselves, and then come back and everybody would talk about it, which was the worst part of the whole thing, is watching yourself. It's mamish the worst part. So Gerald Olav Shalom, he had no children, he was not married, so we were like his children, and whatever we can accomplish his merit. After we moved to Chicago, he came once to work with our fellows. We brought him to Chicago, and then he got sick, and a few years later he passed away, and he's buried in Delaware. So he was very adamant, Gerald, and even this past Shabbos when I gave a drasha, I still heard him in my mind's ear. He was extremely adamant that every drasha has to have a lamaisa. He was very adamant about that, insistent all the time. Now, sometimes we would kind of negotiate with him, well, does this qualify as a maisa or not? Like, is this takeaway message adequate for a maisa? But what I think what he was trying to get us to understand is that if you just give people a nice idea, it's good, it's a nice idea, but it's not lomed al manas lasos. There's nothing that's going to focus people on how they're going to integrate that, incorporate it into their lives. So maybe they could say it over the Shabbos table. If you were an effective communicator, he would say, if you say it well, if you give them value for time and you say it effectively, they'll be able to say it over. But he says, what we, you know, he was a layperson, he wasn't a rabbi. He said, what we're looking for is something that's practical. So you have to have a lemaisa. He was insistent on that all the time. And I wonder if what he's being mechavin to is this idea from Rav Volbe, that a nice idea is good. Nothing to take away from it. But he says the step to Ruach HaKodesh is lomed, which is the kivon el hamaisa. So the irony is, on the next, skip the parentheses, Hakivan ala maisa rishiso yira kulo das tachliso kedusha kizui derech hakedusha lahagia es ha'adam el nekudas atzmo. Now he's starting to bring it full circle, which is that when our intention, when we're learning, is to be practically focused, so then that actually brings the person back to thinking, how am I going to incorporate this into my life? And how does it relate to me? Who am I, and how does it relate to me? This whole psicha la'avoda pratis, this whole section has been how to think about the personal spiritual prescription, right? It was about saying it's not just a general health recommendation, it's what relates to me. So he says now, interestingly, if when I learn something, I have to now apply it in my life, so I have to figure out, what is this idea saying? But not just what is it saying, what is it saying in my life? So that means I have to figure out myself, and how do I integrate it? So it now comes back to the self-awareness, the self-knowledge, the application in my own life. It comes back to where he started. It's like a very circuitous route, but it comes back to where he started about the importance of das atzmo, of knowing ourselves and relating to ourselves. So when we hear an idea, now it becomes personal. Rav Schwartz, he should live and be well. He mentioned once about giving drashos, that he gave a mashal. He said, giving a drasha is like making hats. Why did he tell us that? Because he said, someone once came over to him after a drasha that he gave and said, and I don't know if we ever have this experience, I certainly do listening to drasha sometimes, said to him, Rabbi, I felt like you were talking to me, that issue was really what I need to work on. Were you talking to me? Basically, what is he saying? So Schwartz says to him, look, I make hats. If the hat fits, wear it. But what's the point on the receiving end? The receiving end is listening. How does this idea that may apply differently to other people who are sitting in this room of 300 people or 50 people or 20 people, how does it relate to me? How am I going to maybe lead a maisa in my life? And that's what he says. From there, you're going to approach and get to when we sham novas gam ruach hakodesh, and that's how he's going to explain in the next section. 2 points. Aleph, you see where he says the little aleph, lahamid maisa mushlam legamri hu atzmo mehadvarim hakashim biyoser hu atzmo b'china shel ruach hakodesh. Why is this bringing you to ruach hakodesh? Because he says, you know where you can taste a shmeck, a little smell of ruach hakodesh in your life, when you do something good, completely holy good, without any other negias, without any other alternative motive, without, you know, half baked. When it's totally good, he says, that is a spark of godliness in your life. Sometimes you walk away when you make a bracha, and you say, I'm not sure if I made that bracha. I don't know if that ever happens to you. I don't know, did I say a bracha, did I not? It was literally 5 seconds ago, but I still can't remember if I said that bracha. That is an indication that it probably wasn't the most spiritually enriching experience. Just saying. However, sometimes we have a spiritual experience, we have a maisa that is so mushlam that we actually sat down before and we thought about it. We took a second to focus, and then we realized the importance of it, and we had intention when we did it, and we weren't rushing out the door as we were saying, and then we thought about it, how it's going to take us through the rest of the moment or the rest of the day before we're going to eat something or do something. It says that maisa mushlam, that is a shtickle Bechina of Ruach HaKodesh. Wow. So he's saying, full circle, he's saying that it's the, if we have that machshava to the Maisa, when we bring it to the Maisa, we transform that whole Maisa. So there's the benefit on the machshava side, and then there's the benefit on the Maisa side when we actually execute it. Let's skip to Beis. Hakivun el hamaisu gam kein haderech lahagia lamadrigas ruach hakodesh atzma. The intention of getting to something practical also gets us to this level of Ruach HaKodesh itself. How so? V'davka lo ha-machshava b'dvarim nizgavim ha-mufshata me'olam ha-maisa. Specifically not the things which are abstract and ethereal and have nothing to do with a practical life. Ela ha-nakuda ha-ma'asis. It is in the specifics, in the day-to-day details. It's not that the Torah wants us to abandon our life and go to find a mountaintop in Nepal and philosophize and think. It's the opposite. Right? The Ribbon Shalom created the world. We spoke about this once before. First, it was B'tchila Ala B'machshava. God gave us a machshava, gave us intentionality. But L'Basof, what was it? It was an Olam HaMaisa. It went from Atzilus and Bria and Yetzira to a world of Asiya, these high celestial levels down to practical world. So in a certain sense, we're walking back the steps of God. Just like the Ribbono Shalom had a machshava and it came down to a practical element. It came down to blades of grass and taking out the garbage. So too we. Our machshava is going to be like God. We have a machshava, a high-level idea, but that high-level idea is going to be focused and translate on the practicalities of life. How I'm going to drive, and what I'm going to eat, and how I'm going to speak. All of these, he says, that's the nekuda hama'asit. An amazing idea. It's exactly the opposite. It's not about becoming a kind of like this obscure theoretical concept. It's about being focused on the Olam HaMaisa. So in the end, it takes both. It takes the Machshava and it takes the Maisa. But the Machshava has to be oriented to the Maisa. Otherwise, it's never going to translate. Otherwise, number one, your Maisa is going to be lacking. You're not going to be informed. But the Machshava is going to dissipate. We have to have the machshava for the kivun of the maisa. And when we do that, we now see that it's not just that the maisa is enhanced, the action is better, because it's more informed and it's more fulfilled, and that's the expression of Ruach HaKodesh that we're getting to, but it's a different kind of machshava. It's a different kind of way of living. It goes back to his idea of das, of being able to bridge the gaps that exist in our life. And by doing that, we're actually coming back to the energy that Hashem Yisbarach put into the world. That he started with the machshava, but that machshava, sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila, it was with the intention of Briyas Ha'olam, with the intention of worrying about what Adam Rishon was going to eat for breakfast, and how who was going to pick up his carpool, and what was going to happen when he got home at night, and who was going to build his house, all the things. It's not that we're working back to get to a world of spirituality that we don't think about the Maisa, according to Rav Volbi. It's the opposite. It's that a truly spiritual person, a person of Ruach HaKodesh, is actually constantly thinking, how can I take this machshava, this ideal, not just an idea, but an ideal, and orient the machshava towards something that is the Maisa. Halavai, we should do it. Have a great week. Thank you for coming.